Welcome to the King James Bible Seminary. My name is Myron Boffman. I'll be your instructor today in the Word of the Lord. This is the Old Testament poetry class, and we would like to welcome you to it. Hopefully our time together will be to honor the Lord Jesus Christ and to learn the Holy Scriptures that we might please Him and serve Him better. Looking at Psalm 101 today, a Psalm of David. So if you'll be so kind as to turn there, we'll get started with the lesson, which is entitled, The Householder's Psalm. The Householder's Psalm. I would like to invite you all to take a prayer request sheet at the back door. Well, the door that y'all came in, that's not really the back door, but it's the back of the classroom. But we'd like to share prayer requests. If you have any, add those to the list and leave that with me on my desk, and we'll just make sure we share those requests. Psalm 101. I will sing of mercy and judgment. Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whom privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all wicked doers from the city of the Lord. End quote. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his eternal blessed word. Now, let's take a look at what this is talking about. It seems to be talking about David, King David, and how he approached his duties towards his kingdom, his subjects, those who dwelt there in the land. His attitude and the guiding principles of how he governed. So it talks about that. And it also points to Jesus Christ and his kingdom. And the similarity and the principles are, the similarity is great and the principles are basically the same. In former generations, Christians considered this psalm, along with Psalm 127, the standard for those who had a house and a family. One must rule the home with biblical standards for peace, prosperity, and happiness to dwell within. Any king, civil official, or church leader must rule their home in an orderly manner first in order to be able to hold an office respectably, according to 1 Timothy chapter 3. It is a sad state of corruption when civil officials flaunt debauchery with no repercussions. And it is just as disgusting, probably, at least to me, for ministers. You can put the word ministers in quotation marks there. It is just as disgusting for ministers to flaunt great wealth and push their own lordship over God's flock. The ruling truth in governmental affairs is that falsehood utterly subverts all principles of government, as well as all the foundations of morals. We must realize that, and this is important, wise men, underline the word wise, wise men are not perverse or deceitful, but have upright integrity. Wise men are not perverse or deceitful, but have upright integrity. The unwise have no real place in governing, either in civil government or in a church. Since the principle is correct that corrupt acquaintances corrupt anyone in office, those in office who choose to continuously appoint corrupt people must also be considered corrupt. There's a lot of corruption there in that sentence. The godly person, in contrast, will seek godly people of talent and integrity to serve and not tolerate those who prove to be less than worthless value to your company, your cause, your kingdom, your government. And ultimately are really, because of that, are detrimental. Integrity of moral character is of utmost importance in both the family home as well as in public service or ministry. This is where trust is established. Integrity of character, being moral, being trust, gives you trustworthiness. Thus, in the principles laid down in this psalm that we are studying today, we see guidance in how to run a home, a business, or a government. So let's take a look at these principles of the householder's psalm. Psalm 101, verse 1. Quote, I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. End quote. Now, we see the integrity of the man after God's own heart. In other words, David here. In both times of mercy and trying times of judgment, David sang praises to God. It is one thing to sing God's praise in good times, days of prosperity, health, and happiness, but something else above and beyond the usual norm for anyone to sing God's praises during times of stress or duress, sickness, and sorrow. David, King David, was consistent in his worshipful appreciation of God. And he, here at this point, is our example. Even when death stared David in the face, as he stood up to the huge giant warrior of Goliath, or hid in dark, cold caves in order to survive. He learned and became thankful for all that God brought his way, whether it could be viewed as good or bad. Here he writes, quote, "I will sing." Yes, of the hardships to be overcome in order to rely on God more. As Paul stated, "In my weakness, I am the strongest in the Lord." If I don't rely, that's a New Testament principle that comes out. If I don't rely on my own strength, I'm relying more on God's strength and wisdom. In Acts chapter 16, let's take a look at it. In regard to praising God, even in hard times, Acts 16, we see Paul and his evangelist companion Silas, both thrown into an inner prison, put in stocks, been whipped, and left for the executioner. But, quote, "At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Do thyself no harm, for we are all here.' Then he," that is the jailer, "then he called for a light and sprang in, and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out, and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' And they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house.' And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, for they had been cruelly whipped, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house." We'll stop there, end quote. It is amazing what thankful prayer and praise can do, even in what would be normally considered the worst of times. Many people, some Christians included, perhaps sometimes find this to be very difficult to do. But David resolved to be consistently faithful in his prayer and praise. Verse 2, quote, "I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way," end quote. Now, this is not being conceited or in any way. He is saying that he seeks to walk in God's perfect way. That is his goal. David sees that God's standard is perfection, even though he is imperfect. Now, if your standard is imperfect, then you will be aiming at an imperfect target, and therefore your conduct will be the imitation of imperfection, and will lead one eventually far away. You won't be hitting the bullseye. Matter of fact, you'll be getting further and further away from it. Now, there are various descriptions in the Bible of being wise, but none of the biblical descriptions are contrary to the moral law of God and the New Testament concepts of New Testament principles laid down by Christ and the apostles who delivered the faith once delivered to the saints. It became standard. So, the various descriptions of being wise is walking in God's way. Now, one needs to consider their own walk in life. Walk meaning the general course of it in regard to God's word. More closely, one needs to examine one's own conduct in their own home first, and probably in private first. Now, you should ask yourself, are the biblical principles of Christ being followed? And you might want to look closely at that. Love and forgiveness, discipline, Christian, pious walking, seeking to please the Lord, discipline according to correct biblical principles that teach right and wrong. These are very important, as well as correct and good conduct. Teach by example. So this is one toward another. We're to love and forgive. Knowing Christ is fundamental to knowing wisdom. Loving the other people in your home as you love yourself is fundamental. Let's go on to verse 3, please. Quote, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes, end quote. Now, this is a very important concept. This speaks of willingly, on purpose, setting things of immoral value in front of you. Says, I will set no wicked thing. There are a lot of different ways of doing this, sadly, and it's very easy to do with today's media being everywhere. The word wicked is Belial, which means something or someone of immoral or corrupting nature. There are many, quote, men of Belial, end quote, these days in modern society, who should not be close acquaintances or friends of anyone who knows Christ due to their corrupting nature. Belial, personified as a demon, has been adopted by fairly recent literature. In the fictional book Paradise Lost, anybody read that? Yes? What, half of it? Well, half is better than none, I guess. In the book Paradise Lost, written by John Milton, he wrote that Belial was the last demon to fall and the vilest, the wickedest. The demon of impurity and lies. To be considered a son of Belial will be considering someone to be very wicked, having a fallen, even demonic, evil demonic nature. Not very complimentary. Drugs and alcohol is very destructive. Drugs and alcohol are very destructive in anyone's life and leads all to often to loose morals. So anybody gets involved and starts doing drugs and alcohol consumption, it usually leads downward in their moral life, destroys it. Now, in opposition to that is to embrace the principle of, quote, to love God is to hate evil, end quote. Now, hating something means you stay away from it and you don't enjoy it, even on occasion. Verses 4 and 5. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. End quote. Now this is reminiscent of the words of Christ concerning the last day in Matthew chapter 7, verse 23. Then on judgment day there will be fake Christians who will claim to have done many wonderful things in Christ's name and for his sake. But he will say, quote, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. End quote. So their good works is viewed by God's standard as a work of iniquity. Done for wrong reasons. Usually even good works done for some wrong reason, some wrong motivation. A froward heart is one that isn't consistent, not consistent. One day that person loves God supposedly, and the next day they are off enjoying evil. Now, one in this condition is confused in many ways, and their standing before God is questionable. Are they saved or not? Now, that's not up to me to answer. But using the verses before us as well as elsewhere, the answer to that question is no, not really. For that, see James chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. By their fruits ye shall know them. Now, they are perhaps someone who has a false faith. A faith standing on desperate self-convincing and self-deceit. Now the word guile, G-U-I-L-E, in the Bible has the same basic meaning as deceit. Deception. Lying for a reason. So a person in whom there is no guile operates with no deceit in their heart, mind, or lives. For that, see John chapter 1, verse 47. Christians are to have no guile or any deceitfulness. Froward people are labeled as a wicked person in this verse, and who will have no place in heaven or any standing in the judgment day. They would rather obey their whims than obey the call of the gospel to repent and believe. These people need our prayers for them to honestly come to Christ while they still can by the grace of God. In verse 5, to slander someone is to speak evil of that person to someone else. An old Jewish saying in this regard is that anyone who slanders another injures three people. He injures himself with the slander. He injures the one he is telling it to. And the third person, he injures the one he slanders. Generally, the idea of, quote, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all, end quote, is fairly correct in most times. Not always, but most times. Be merciful and gracious in your speech. Now, this is especially true in regard to God, because we are not his judges. We're not to try to be his judges and judge him and tell other people what you think is wrong with God or his church, or be his critics. Verse 6. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. End quote. Consistent faith that endures to the end is the guiding principle laid down in Scripture, as seen in Matthew chapter 24, verse 13. Consistent faith means faith that is not off again, on again, so to speak, but consistent as seen in verse 1 that we just looked at. Now, we faithfully pray and praise God in the good as well as in the bad times of life. Faith demands patience. And your white garment of faith should not be spotted with blotches of sinful unfaithfulness. Don't muddy up your life with inconsistency. The lost look at that and say, oh, there's a hypocrite right there. Now, as seen at the end of this psalm, those who fail in faith do not eternally dwell with God. So our testimony should be positive and uplifting to others. The positive and uplifting points people to God. Now, the opposite is true. If you're negative and downward and crushing and insulting and critical all the time, then that points downward, and that is not pointing to God at all. That's going in the opposite direction, in my opinion. But anyways, that's what we have for Psalm 101. I hope this was informative to you, got you to think about something. And let's close this session with a word of prayer, please. So let's bow. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for loving us enough to die for us. We thank Thee for this, Thy Holy Scriptures, that we can turn to and get wisdom. Cause us, Lord, to walk wisely with Thee in Thy way. Pray now that You be with all the requests we have. We ask now that You'll forgive us of our sins and You'll bless us through the Holy Spirit and guide and direct us and protect us as we seek to serve Thee. Watch over each one of our prayer requests. Help us to be faithful in upholding these people and these requests unto Thee each day. Help us, Lord, to have faith and patience and love and forgiveness that we might please Thee. Help us as we seek to serve Thee. And it's in Christ's name we pray these things with thanksgiving. Amen.